Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And then coming up, Aria's got some crypto news with a crypto, one of the top exchanges being targeted for allegedly violating sanctions against Iran. We'll get into that here. But first, Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yes. I've been hearing that our city, they're going to have the speeding cameras and make it permanent. So, I guess when they started out, it was supposed to be like mobile vans moving around and kind of moved around. Now it's going to be like permanent, which is good. I'm all in favor of it. And I
Why?
Just hope that.
Right, she's been telling us that she's in favor of the speeding cameras for like what?
I know, but why is she in favor? What do you think they're going to accomplish? What do you think they're going to achieve?
Well, you know what? I actually live at Albuquerque. We have number one pedestrian per capita fatalities.
Uh-huh.
If you were to live here, you would feel the same way I would do. You live in New Hampshire. Would they have law and order? This is the wild
this is the live free or die state. We have roundabouts. We don't even do stoplights. We have roundabouts, and people just go around in circles. And that's how we get around.
Yeah,
cameras.
First of all, even if we give Sarah her belief that the speeding cameras are going to affect people, because I don't think.
But they have the highest pedestrian fatality thing or whatever.
Right. But let's just give her that point. Let's just say, all right, speeding cameras go in. All of a sudden, everybody's doing the speed limit, which is completely unrealistic to believe. But let's go ahead and give it to her. So let's presume the speed limit. What's typical speed limit around the city, Sarah? Is it 45, 50? Do you even pay attention?
It's supposed to be like 35 usually on the regular road and maybe like, I don't know, 25 or 20 in the residential.
All right. So most people, they speed 5, 10 miles an hour over the speed limit typically. So let's say you got somebody who would have gone 45 miles an hour on their way to work is now going 35 miles an hour, and they're definitely afraid to go more than you know, mile per hour over the speed limit because they just know the speeding cameras are going to get them. And so if you've got a big problem with pedestrians being hit by cars, that means you have a problem with pedestrians who don't know how to deal with cars.
Correct.
Meaning they are just walking out in the street without looking, or they're just so drunk they're falling into the street or whatever. I mean, I guess if these same idiotic pedestrians are getting hit at 35 miles an hour versus 45 miles an hour, some of them might survive that instead of, you know, completely dying at a 45 mile an hour hit. But I don't know how many of them. I suspect it still hurts a lot to get hit at 35 miles an hour as it does at 45. But I'm not an expert in what an extra 10 miles an hour is going to do to a human body. Either way, I think you're going to be pretty bad off. Whether you survive it is another question.
Right. But for some reason, people are, they welcome the speeding cameras. But
they don't.
No, you do.
No, but here's the thing. They cite the red light cameras. They cite you for 20 different things going through an intersection. Those ones get everybody really worked up.
You're saying you don't think people are as upset about speeding cameras as they are red light cameras?
What makes you say that? Well, I mean, they tolerate it. I mean, I don't see them coming out in probes. I mean, packing the city hall, or I don't see any big deal about it. And most people, a lot of people are in agreement if you just get you for speeding only. They're more tolerant of it. You know what I mean?
Do you think she's right about that?
That?
I was doing the math on, you know, how much it would, what the difference is between getting hit at 35 miles per hour and getting hit at 45 miles per hour, actually, where it's going to be a difference of about 8 to 10%, maybe up to 25%, because it's just force equals mass times acceleration, right? So if the cars are weigh the same either way, then, yeah, the difference in speed is going to be the main factor there.
I guess I want to know, are these pedestrian deaths, is it from cars that are veering off of the road and they're hitting people on the sidewalk, or are these idiots who are crossing the road, they're thinking that the car is just going to magically stop for them because there's a there's a bubble of protection around them because there's a crosswalk, right?
Yeah.
And they don't look, which is a problem all over this country. We have idiots who think that this thing is going to protect them from a semi.
It's not just pedestrians either. I mean, I recently watched the Keen chat on Facebook erupt into this argument about how to use roundabouts correctly. And they're like, look, if you're going straight or whatever, don't use the right lane. They were like, technically, you should be able to do this. You should be able to do that. Like, look, it really doesn't matter. You can make this thing not an issue if you don't. It doesn't matter if you're in the right or not. That's not going to matter when your car is totaled, right? You're like, well, I was in the right here. Well, okay, well,
now you're paraplegic.
Yeah, you still don't have a car anymore, and now they broke your spine. So what's right isn't necessarily important. Is, you know, maybe sure pedestrians have the right of way. You can scream that all day long while you're in the hospital with your broken neck if that's what you want to do.
But she never answers that question about what are the circumstances surrounding the pedestrian deaths.
That's very important.
She doesn't have that information.
Well, it's true what you say in the books. Like the code of the Oregon City, the pedestrians do have a right of way, but in practice, Albuquerque drivers that drive the cars have a right of way. If you don't,
they're driving a 2-ton death machine, and if you step in their way, you get what you get.
Yeah, I don't care what the law says. I look both ways, and I don't walk around. I don't walk down the sidewalk with my face buried in my cell phone, which is a huge problem. And I drive around town, and I see it all the time.
People with their face in their cell phones, not just
walk down the sidewalk, face buried in their phone, walking across the crosswalk right in front of me.
What about the people with headphones in, man, riding their bikes and walking around, taking their bikes across crosswalks? They've got headphones in. They can't hear anything going on around
completely
them.
The situational awareness is at near zero for a lot of these people. And then you combine that with people on their phones while they're driving, and you've got a guaranteed death or serious bodily injury is going to come from that at some point. Thank you, Sarah.
But before I hear any more about these scanners, these sensors being implemented to save people, because the government's so good at saving people from problems they created in the first place, I want to know those stats.
Yeah.
I want to know, was the driver on a cell phone? I want to know if the pedestrian was on a cell phone. I want to know if there was alcohol involved. Mm-hmm. I want to know if it was a crosswalk or it was some guy veering into the sidewalk. Those are important stats, and I don't think these sensors are going to do anything, because I think I know what the problem is.
You
got Darwin taking care of dumb people, you know what? I'm sorry, it needs to happen.
I agree.
And sometimes just careless people, not necessarily dumb, just careless.
Yeah, sure, people make mistakes.
Yep.
Because they think that crosswalk is a magic protection of bubble.
If you're walking down the sidewalk though and minding your own business, you can't really help it if some drunk driver comes flying down Main Street at 60 miles an hour and kills you. Now that's not Darwinian. That's just That's just.
I guarantee you that is not going to be the majority of the pedestrians.
Certainly not.
Yeah. In any given city.
I think it's people on crosswalks looking, thinking that that stoplight is going to actually stop that, 2-ton truck from plowing into them.
Crazy.
Well, they think that, that's how it works. These people would never break the law.
Nope.
They would never run a stop sign or a red light.
And this is why, and by the way, I always say it, people who've listened to me for the years, they know this is why I love roundabouts so much, is because it wakes you up. Because now you're coming to an intersection where bad things can happen if you don't get off your cell phone, which you shouldn't be in anyways, and look around, and, it's anarchy.
Four-way stops were really popular in the South, and what I learned about those from, like, the first week after I'd been driving was that no one has any idea, when they get there, who the next person to actually go is. Every single person thinks, I came to a complete stop,
I must be
next. Every single one of them. I never saw anyone else use four-way stops correctly, because they just weren't paying attention. They were just driving reflexively, not paying attention, then suddenly, Who's next? Well, I'm stumped. I must be next.
I think you make a good point about the roundabouts, Conan, requiring people to pay attention, because that's what the traffic lights take away. It's like, oh, yep. I got my light. Now I can just go. And then all of a sudden, they don't pay attention because somebody's blowing through the intersection to get T-boned or whatever. You got to pay attention to get through a roundabout, no doubt. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us here. It is Free Talk Live.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. We're going to get into a little bit of crypto news here with the Kraken Exchange being targeted, apparently, for allegedly avoiding sanctions. It's Ian, Aria, and Conan in the
the studio here tonight. And you can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians coming up in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire next year, in June the 15th through the 18th. That is the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
And you say coming up, man, people are so anxious about these freedom festivals. It's insane.
Yeah, the Porcupine Freedom Festival has blown up in a big way. It's sold out the last 2 weeks in a row, and ForkFest is moving back to the front. We are going back where the whole thing started, which was when ForkFest happened before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So that's going to happen in 2023. So you can join Free Talk Live and other great liberty-minded folks there. Just all you have to do is reserve your RV site, your campsite, and your hotel room for June 15th through the 18th. Now, if you want to stay on through the Porcupine Freedom Festival, I would recommend you do that at the same time, which is to say reserve it as soon as possible.
Yep.
And get your Porcupine Freedom Festival tickets as soon as possible, because they will sell out, if the last 2 years are any indication, and I suspect it's going to continue to be packed. In fact, 2022, the Porcupine Freedom Festival brought in an extra 500 tickets more than what they sold in 2021, and they sold out. So it's the park's maxed out. I don't think they're going to be able to fit more people in 2023. So get your tickets sooner rather than later. ForkFest, you don't need tickets. You can just show up. Just hang out with the people that are there. And if you, if you want to stay for ForkFest, you should. I think you should. If you got the 10 days or 11 days to do them both, do them both. Go to ForkFest.party to learn more. It's June 15th through the 18th, 2023. That's ForkFest.party. Aria, what's going on with Kraken, one of the better exchanges in the United States? I mean, they're all government regulated. They're all controlled. But at least to the guy's credit that runs the organization there, he's been getting attacked by the leftist woke media because he won't tolerate wokeism, basically, in his company. He says everybody in the company has a right to whatever opinion they want. We're not going to come after somebody because they're not toeing the line on whatever belief systems. And the New York Times did a whole expose about him and Kraken and so on, and it looks like the government's now targeting him.
The Treasury Department is investigating whether the crypto exchange Kraken allowed users in Iran to buy and sell digital tokens. Said people with knowledge of the matter. One has to wonder if this is, in fact, some sort of blowback to exactly what you were just talking about, which is Kraken's unwillingness to play ball with the woke left.
Mm-hmm.
Kraken, one of the world's largest cryptocurrency exchanges, is under federal investigation, suspected of violating U.S. sanctions by allowing users in Iran and elsewhere to buy and sell digital tokens, according to five people affiliated with the company or with knowledge of the inquiry. The Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control has been investigating Kraken since 2019 and is expected to impose a fine, said the people. Said the five people, okay, who declined to be identified for fear of retribution from the company. So it's more federal overreach, federal attempts to take down cryptocurrency and to sort of wrangle the herd that is cryptocurrency into the cage.
Total obedience.
Yes, that the federal government wants them to be in.
And take probably what will be millions of dollars in fines, right? Because they're not going to just come in with $10,000 or whatever for a fine for this. They're
going to be multi-million dollars,
yeah,
I'm sure.
They're going to play this up as, you're helping the terrorists. Now, no one's getting charged criminally in this particular case at this point, but millions of dollars, they'd be happy to skim that right off the top of their bank account.
In this particular case, no one's being charged criminally, certainly, but just last week or maybe the week before, there was the story about someone who worked at Coinbase being charged with something. I don't remember exactly what, but a lot of these crypto exchanges, they do have people who are being charged criminally. The federal government has increasingly cracked down on crypto companies, which are lightly regulated, as the market for digital currencies have grown. Tether, a stablecoin company, was fined by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, that's the CFTC, for misstatements about its reserves last year, while the Justice Department brought insider trading charges this month against an ex-employee of Coinbase. That was what I was referring to. Scrutiny of the industry has risen in recent months as the crypto market went into meltdown and several companies collapsed, like the Celsius Network.
They're in bankruptcy.
I don't remember what they were, and I know I've heard of them before, and I know we've talked about them before.
They were one of the crypto loans companies where you could deposit your crypto, and they would pay you some number of APR, like 5 to 18%, basically.
And, you know, we talked about them here on Free Talk Live as sort of this interesting thing, but also we warn people, hey, look, not your keys, not your coins. You know, this is a very high interest rate, could be too good to be true.
I feel fairly certain that any time we talk about them, we mention that, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Yeah.
So people that had their money parked with them, they may never see it again.
Kraken is a private company valued at $11 billion.
By the way, before you go on, same thing's true with Kraken and all of these exchanges. Yes. They are all centrally managed, centrally owned. If you have cryptocurrency on Coinbase or Kraken or Binance.us or whatever other ones there are out there in the United States or anywhere in the world at this point, you never know what's going to happen. The most common occurrence is one of these exchanges will be hacked, supposedly, and they'll lose money, and maybe you'll get it back. Maybe they were insured, maybe they weren't. You know, a lot of times people just lose when that happens. Or the federal government comes in and says, well, we're just going to take that, and they take all the exchange's money from their bank account, they close the exchange down, and you'd be lucky if you ever see a dime's worth of your crypto again. So
this guy of Kraken here, Jesse Powell, didn't he tweet out recently something to the effect of not your keys, not your crypto?
He sure did, yeah. He encouraged people, to his credit, to get their coins off their exchanges, including his own exchange. He said, we cannot protect you from the government. And that is because
it's a hell of a sentiment.
That is because they have to obey the state. They are a centrally controlled financial organization, and they, you know, the men with guns know where they work, and they'll come over, and like this, they're dealing with now. They're being accused of letting people from Iran trade cryptocurrency, which I think is a good thing. I think so
as well, because sanctions only hurt the Iranian people.
Correct.
And allowing them to use, or them using cryptocurrency allows them to bypass those sanctions and reduce that harm that's being done to them by the U.S. government. That's good to me.
And reduce the harm being done to them by the Iranian government. That's the to me, that's the biggest loss here, is if you tell the Iranian people they can't do business with people in the United States, they can't get cryptocurrency from people in the United States, well, then that means anybody that's in Iran that opposes the Iranian government is prohibited from doing anything about the Iranian government financially by getting cryptocurrency and getting their money out of whatever the hell crap central bank currency Iran has.
By the way, those restrictions or sanctions have been in place since 1979.
Mm.
And they're still in place.
Yep.
I mean, what has been achieved?
Yeah.
Nothing. It's still a problem. Let the sanctions, or just let people be people, be free, and allow Iranians to operate in crypto, and that's the best way to get underneath their government.
Absolutely.
So Kraken is a private company valued at $11 billion that allows users to buy, sell, or hold various cryptocurrencies, obviously. And last year, the CFTC levied a $1.25 million penalty against Kraken for a prohibited trading service. It doesn't specify what that is, but there is more about this article.
And your calls and thoughts are also welcome at 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want to discuss. That's 603-283-6160. To control the airways here, this is Free Talk Live.
My name is Stephen Huer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from 2 mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net, or call 888-988-3325.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Fed Reserve officials are making the case for more interest rate hikes as inflation soars. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly noting Americans are still dealing with the effects of high prices. She explained the Fed's job is far from done because things that were affordable 6 months ago aren't now. President Biden signs the CHIPS and Science Act into law Tuesday. The bill is intended to encourage semiconductor chip manufacturers to move their operations to the United States. The president virtually joined an event hosted by Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, touting the impact the legislation will have on the state.
The way I see this bill in Michigan is it's about chips and it's about cars.
Critics argue the bill doesn't do anything to ensure semiconductor chip manufacturers will move back to the United States. This is USA Radio News. Amid threats from China, Taiwan has a high-profile visitor from the United States.
Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan has begun as the speaker arrived in Taiwan Tuesday night local time. Pelosi and her delegation disembarked from a U.S. Air Force transport plane at Songshan Airport in downtown Taipei and were greeted by Taiwan's Foreign Minister Joseph Wu and Sandra Ouderkirk, the top U.S. representative in Taiwan. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
A top FEMA official will now be leading the White House's monkeypox response team. Robert Fenton now has the title of White House National Monkeypox Response Coordinator. Fenton previously served as FEMA's acting administrator twice. The first confirmed case of monkeypox in the United States came on May 18th. Monkeypox is a viral disease that occurs mostly in Central and Western Africa. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Live. Phones open. You can join us here. Number 603-283-6160. We're talking about evading sanctions, or that's allegedly what they're saying the folks over at Kraken have done by, according to the government gang, Kraken allowing people from Iran to trade on their platform. And the libertarian, I think the pro-freedom viewpoint on this is that sanctions shouldn't exist at all.
Nope.
They only hurt the people of the countries, the fat cats, the government goons in Iran or Venezuela or whatever, you know, North Korea. Those people are...
Cuba.
They're eating just fine. I mean, look at them. Look at Kim Jong-un from North Korea. That guy is... He's fat.
He's fat.
Okay? So sanctions against him have not harmed Kim Jong-un. They're harming the North Korean people. And the same thing's true in Iran, although I don't know how many of their bosses are fat over there. But nonetheless, the people there are harmed by the fact that they cannot trade and create relationships, business relationships with people in the United States, cannot acquire cryptocurrency through U.S. crypto exchanges. And
this is why I like exchanges like XMarkets, that's exmarkets.com, where you can sign up with just an email address.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of this. They don't know whether you're located in Iran or Kuwait or the United States or Canada or whatever. It's not their business. They don't care.
Well, and they are probably not based in the United States either.
I would encourage them not to be.
Yeah. So what else do we need to know about this story, Aria?
Well, it's interesting. We talked a little bit about Jesse Powell. It's interesting some
CEO
of the perspectives that he's taken in things. Like in an internal conversation about employee benefits in 2019, Jesse Powell suggested he would consider breaking the law in a wide range of situations if the advantages to the company outweighed potential penalties.
Okay, makes sense.
the article is extremely lengthy here. It takes them forever to actually get into what they're alleged to be doing. But basically, the Treasury Department warned that cryptocurrencies, quote, potentially reduce the efficacy of American sanctions. And it released a 30-page compliance manual that recommended cryptocurrency companies use geolocation tools to weed out customers in restricted regions because, I mean, they could never think to use a VPN. Scrutiny of the industry obviously has risen in recent months, as recent years, I would suggest, as the crypto market went into meltdown and several companies collapsed. Oh, I scrolled back up too far. Sorry. A Treasury spokeswoman said the agency, that's the CFTC or the Treasury, does not confirm or comment on potential or ongoing investigations and was committed to enforcing, quote, sanctions that protect U.S. national security, because somehow U.S. national security is served by starving the poor people of Iran. Doesn't make any sense to me.
It's straight up propaganda. It's fear mongering. Oh my God, Iran, terrorism. Everybody there is a terrorist.
Well,
not
on the
true.
Subject of propaganda, sanctions. This is the New York Times, obviously. Sanctions are some of the most powerful tools the United States government has to influence the behavior of nations it does not consider allies.
What a load. Does not work.
But cryptocurrencies pose a threat to sanctions because the digital coins don't flow through the traditional banking system, making the funds harder for the government to control.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's right.
That's why we like it so very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
In October, the Treasury Department warned that cryptocurrencies...
And that's why they're cracking down as hard as they can. They're desperate to try to stop cryptocurrency, to try to scare people away from it, and to try to put as much pressure on the businesses, the centralized corporations that are dealing with it. But the good news is that the more pressure they put on these companies, the more interest there is in decentralized alternatives to them.
Yes. The fact that crypto can move without a bank or intermediary means that exchanges are responsible for certain types of financial regulatory compliance, said Haley Linden, who's an attorney. A lawyer at Anderson Kill, who handles regulatory issues in crypto. Kraken and the issue of sanctions surfaced in a November 2019 lawsuit by a former employee from the finance department who accused the startup of generating revenue from accounts in countries that were under sanctions. He said he had taken the matter to Kraken's chief financial officer and the top compliance official in early 2019. That same year, OFAC, the Office of Foreign,
Assets Control.
Yes, thank you. Began investigating Kraken, focusing on the company's accounts in Iran. The people familiar with the investigation said Kraken's customers have also opened accounts in Syria and Cuba.
They, by the way, make similar allegations recently against Binance. I don't know if you heard about that.
Binance, they have...
They have two divisions. There's the...
Okay.
Well, there's more than two, I think. There's some for other countries. But there's Binance, the big one, which is the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange by volume.
And there's
Binance.us, which is nowhere near as popular. But they actually are claiming that the big Binance has been avoiding sanctions. They're trying to say that Binance, which is not based in the U.S., but has a subsidiary that is based in the U.S., has to also follow U.S. sanctions.
Yeah, that's not going to hold up well for them. I mean, the U.S. government doesn't understand where its jurisdiction ends.
So, according to Reuters, Binance is still conducting trades with Iran right
really?
Now, as we speak.
Oh.
So,
wow.
Why aren't they also being targeted right now?
Or
are they next?
Well, Binance, as we were just saying, is not a U.S. company.
But they are being targeted. We talked about that a couple weeks ago on Free Talk Live.
Targeted as in fines, and
I don't know what the U.S. government can do about a company that isn't based in the United States, not following their precious sanctions.
Right.
Well, ultimately, they can do whatever they want.
Well, that's the difference between Kraken and Binance. Is that the
correct
one is on U.S. and soil, and the other one isn't.
In 2020, the Office of Foreign Asset Control fined BitGo, a digital wallet service with an office in California, more than $98,000 for 183 apparent sanctions violations. That's actually somewhat cheaper than I would have expected for sanctions violations. It also fined BitPay, an Atlanta-based crypto payment processor, more than $500,000 for about 2,000 apparent violations. Coinbase also disclosed in a 2021 financial filing that it has sent notices flagging transactions that may have violated sanctions, although the agency hasn't taken any enforcement action. So Coinbase, being the good little sheep they are, told on themselves to the government.
So just a little bit more about Binance here. The article from Reuters was from a few weeks ago, and it is just a Reuters investigation. So it's not an action by the United States government at this point. It's essentially Reuters saying, oh, look over there, Binance is trading with Iran. Now, again, I don't know what can come out of that, but that's what they're alleging.
Well, it's the media being the puppet arm of the government, as we've long talked about. Mr. Powell co-founded Kraken in 2011 and was an early proponent of Bitcoin. In 2018, the New York Attorney General's office asked Kraken and 12 other exchanges to answer a questionnaire about their operations. Kraken.
Oh, did they just ask?
In 2018. Well,
they only asked? Because I would
answer
say no.
These if you want to continue doing business.
Right.
Here. Kraken did refuse to respond.
Oh, wow.
And called New York hostile to business on Twitter.
That's a fact. New York is the state that passed what they call the BitLicense back in 2015 and cracked down on Bitcoin-oriented businesses. There's very few of them that actually even bothered to try to get through the hoops to service people in New York.
And then it talks about, you know, some of the attacks on wokeism or whatever that started around 2019. These questions about parental leave and legal requirements and all this other stuff. And that was where Jesse Powell said, you know, it's not worth the risk to not follow the legal requirement. There's a lot of double negatives and triple negatives in here that make it very hard to understand, but not following the law would by default be ill-advised, but it always has to be considered as an option, said Mr. Powell. So, I mean, they provided people with, you know, what they were legally required to, not because they felt that it was a good idea or anything like that, but because, you know, there were penalties associated with it, which is more or less how you would expect a company to react. I don't believe for a moment that the reason that Burger King is providing people with, you know, health insurance or whatever is because they care about their employees.
They have to.
It's because the government came along and said, hey, you have to do this. And like, yeah, it's going to cost us too much money if we disobey, so let's just obey. That's about the end of this article. It talks a little bit more about Kraken and various things they may or may not have done. Some people in Iran, some in Syria, some in Cuba, according to figures seen by the New York Times. But ultimately, it's just saying, hey, look, crypto is bad because it lets people get around sanctions. And we're like, yes, that's the point.
That's the point.
The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us. Bring up whatever is on your mind. Here in the remaining moments of Free Talk Live, which are coming up.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Mm-hmm.
frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Moe's remain enough time for you. If you want to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
How are you?
And Cody. And you can join us anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. You can enjoy the features there. We got our chat server, which is a Matrix-based server over at chat.freetalklive.com. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners, including people that don't listen to the show. They just want to be on the chat server. You can do that, too. Chat.freetalklive.com. In completely unrelated news, I've been holding on to this one for a few weeks, and we on Free Talk Live have been following over the years the struggles of the old media, and yes, I'm aware that we are old media. We're on broadcast radio here on Free Talk Live on a media format that's over 100 years old at this point.
We're mostly old media, but we're also on the internet.
We are.
Free Talk Live was podcasting, as the ad says, before podcasting was even a thing.
That's true. Yeah, we've been doing digital versions of Free Talk Live since day one of the show back in 2002. So there's no doubt we've always existed in both realms. But it's been fascinating to watch as old media struggles to deal with the age of information, the internet age, where anyone can go online, find any amount of content that they want to. It's just this huge bevy of information is out there. So many different shows, so many different newspapers or blogs or whatever. There's just the content is endless now, whereas it used to be, you know, you had one newspaper in town. Maybe if you were in a big city, you'd have two. And then whatever handful of radio stations the FCC has allowed you to have, and maybe if you had, you know, enough population, a TV station.
They're all trying to start their own podcasts, which some of them are. Some people are listening.
You mean the old media people?
Like NPR. I think people actually listen to that.
A lot of people listen to them, yeah.
But there are other outlets that have not done so well.
Right. Some, like you're saying, have managed to, as I think they call in the business, pivot, right? They've changed their business a little bit and tried to embrace the digital side of things. But newspapers have probably had the most difficulty of all of them. I mean, people still like television. They just don't like to watch it in linear format anymore. Now you can go on the various different services and, you know, see whatever shows you want whenever you want. So that's easy now. But newspapers, they've always been yesterday's news today.
There's always a big delay between when the news happens and when people get it. And as a result of that, AP News reporting here that despite a growing recognition of the problem, the U.S. continues to see newspapers die at the rate of 2 per week. 2 newspapers completely dying.
I'm not upset by that. I mean, they don't really serve a useful function in society these days. I mean, what good is it? Other than, I think Olivia was the one who said she uses them to make paper mache. That's pretty much the extent of the usefulness that I can think of when it comes to newspapers. If I want to read something that, like the King Sentinel, which is one of the longest running papers in the United States, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Now only 6 editions per week, by the way. There's only the weekend edition now. There's no more Saturday and Sunday.
I'll just go to SentinelSource.com. And if they're like, hey, no, look, you've already read your 3 articles this month or whatever, I'll just go to archive.ph and paste the link there. Yep. Right?
Oh, they're upgrade. They're working on their paywall. They're making it harder and harder to get in there.
Good luck to them. That archive.ph can get past the New York Times. So
I mean, it's a different world now.
Who really read it besides Aria and myself and maybe you is oldsters who don't know anything about anything.
They need to adapt, and they're not doing
so. They're too slow. They've tried, and their idea of adapting was let's charge people online, and then that ran off all their potential audience.
I'm looking at them right now. I think they actually have a podcast go up and running.
Keen Sentinel?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is them trying to get with the times.
It's almost cringy.
I know, right? But have you ever listened to an NPR podcast? It is that. Some elitist snob telling me how things should be, and it's like, God.
I've seen the Keen Sentinel's YouTube channel over the years, and they're terrible. I mean, the production is just absolutely awful, and they're just not even worth looking at. But at least they're trying. Areas of the country that find themselves without a reliable source of local news tend to be poorer, older, and less educated than those covered well, according to the Northwestern University School of Journalism.
Okay, so there's less stuff happening in places where there's less money. Shocking.
The county, or rather country, had 6,377 newspapers at the end of May this year, and that's down from 8,891 in 2005. So over about 2,500 newspapers have completely gone out of business in the last 17 years.
That tells me that there are way too many newspapers out there.
Yeah, the market is not interested in this stuff anymore. While the pandemic didn't cause the reckoning that some in the industry feared, 360 newspapers have shut down since the end of 2019. All but 24 of them are weeklies serving small communities. An estimated 75,000 journalists worked in the newspaper business in 2006. That number is down to 31,000. So there's less than half of the number of people working in this business.
I mean, I feel for them, but they should have, you know, adapted their journalism skills. Well, first of all, in most cases, they probably should have actually been journalists instead of propagandists on behalf of the state. But even then, they should have developed their journalistic skills more than just one particular form of media.
And now they're all tweet journalists. You know that they are.
You mean where they, like, compile a list of tweets or whatever?
Yep. And my God.
Dude, I hate those.
What it all is.
It's a collection of like 10 different tweets from random people, and then it's a screenshot of the tweet,
right.
And then they take that very same text and they type it right below the image, like, okay. Because it's not about word count or length, article length or anything like that. It's about how long you have to scroll down the page. How many ads can they serve you?
That's the trick.
Yeah, you know, if your idea of journalism is reporting on other people's tweets, you know your business is not going to last, right? Like, that should be a sign.
I don't
sign.
Know. They did really good during the Trump era.
Who did?
The tweet journalists.
When they were reporting on Trump's tweets.
Yes.
Well,
hate that man so much. This was the golden era of tweet journalism.
But we're talking about the people who are just taking, like, let's see what 10 random people have to say on Twitter about, you know, this story about people migrating to Mexico, and then they make an entire article that's just 10 tweets from random people.
By the way, you also have your tweet YouTubers too, and that's all they do. Are you? They just read people's tweets all day and then they report on it.
I'm just saying, like, in the old days, these companies made the news. They broke, you know, they broke the news. They were the originators of the news, and now they're just reporting on other people's.
They're getting a memo in the morning, an email. This is what you need to write about today, from the Davos group.
Annual revenue down from $50 billion to $21 billion. Again, going from 2006 to today.
I'm surprised it's as high as it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're still holding on, but it's tenuous. Even though philanthropists and politicians have been paying more attention to the issue, the factors that drove the collapse of the industry's advertising model haven't changed. Encouraging growth in the digital-only news sector in recent years hasn't been enough to compensate for the overall trends, and that's because it'll never be that way. Like, the old model of local buying an ad in a print newspaper cannot be duplicated online because people online don't have the same tolerance for advertisements that people that are in the real world do.
And the targeted advertising that people are putting on now, it's terrible.
On the internet, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a completely different model, and the model that, you know, I may not know that I want this brand of blender or whatever until I see it in a newspaper, and I'm like, you know what, that's a good idea. But the way internet-based advertisements work, I'm never going to see an ad for a blender until I've gone onto Amazon and I've found a specific blender and have already ordered one.
We know that's not true. All you have to do is say it out loud, and Lambda will hear you, and they will start trying to sell you blenders.
I'm going to bring Jack on the line here. He's in Washington State. Go ahead, Jack.
I grew up mostly in Portland, and
did they have one paper there or more than one?
I think it was the Tribune. I think there's multiples.
Mm-hmm.
But now I actually worked for a newspaper, a small one, Aberdeen, Washington, where Kurt Cobain's from, because I'm in Ocean Shores. And I sold for like 20 years something I believed in and products and services I believed in. But when I got to the newspaper, it was daily, like business to business, which is tough. Them just saying, the newspaper is, you know, dead. You know, you hear that over and over again.
Wait, you're saying the potential clients were saying, yeah, newspapers are dead, we don't want to advertise with you?
Yeah, so selling it was like impossible.
And what year was this? When were you trying to do this?
2018, 2019.
Okay, yeah.
When I first got to Keene, my first job was for writing for the Eagle Times, located just over here in Vermont. I was doing video game and tech reviews for them. It took them like 4 months to pay me for a single article, so I ended up putting there's no money in it. It is a dead industry. For sure.
And then last night you talked about the drag show for children.
Yeah.
I'm not a parent. I'll never be one for some reason. I won't.
Is it because you're gay?
Yeah. Anyway.
Quick.
You're awesome. I'll call back.
Tomorrow night. Talk to you then.
I didn't mean to blow all your thoughts.
Okay. You didn't have a lot of time there. But yeah, you know, newspapers dying 2 per week in the United States. It is a business that, you know, I'd be surprised if it lasts another 20 years. 10 maybe. There's more coming up tomorrow night. We'll see you then. Online in the meantime, freetalklive.com.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
The kid what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.